Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Amen.
All right, we're going to be going over the third part of question 6 this morning. I'm going to repeat the question. May all men make use of the Scriptures. Answer, all men are not only permitted, but commanded and exhorted to read, to hear, and to understand the Scriptures. Now, parts 1 and 2, we went through the reading part, the hearing, and today we'll finish up with the understanding. Let us pray and ask the Lord's help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity for the saints together and to give glory unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We pray for your help this morning, Father. We pray that you would open our eyes, that you would open our hearts, that you would help us understand the marvelous worth of you, God, and that the deep, hard price that you paid to buy us back from sin and death, Lord. Give us grace this morning, Lord. Be magnified. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, let's turn to Acts chapter 8 this morning. And this is the third and fourth proof text that we had in the catechism. Acts chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. It's talking about the Ethiopian eunuch here. It says, verse 28. Let's go to 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And here in verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Look also to Acts chapter 17, and let's look at verse 11. This was the second part of the last proof text. Verse 11 here says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. We're going to talk this morning about the understanding of Scripture and how that, not just by reading in our human aspect that we can understand the Scripture, but that it is revealed to us by the Spirit of God. We've seen here with the Ethiopian eunuch, he could not understand unless some man taught him, a man taught by the Lord to expound the Scripture to him. And here in Acts chapter 17, we see those that were more noble because they searched the Scriptures to hear what they were taught and what they were preached to see whether they were true or not. It was the plumb line by which they measured everything, the Scripture. Let's look to Luke 24 and see an example of this for the Lord Jesus. And this is a synoptic passage of what Brother Jimmy read earlier in Matthew 28. And our dear brother posed a very good question. How would have they reacted if they would have known what would have happened at the resurrection? They were told these things over and over again. How could they not hear? How could they not understand? They had the very Lord of glory before their very eyes. The perfect example of what God created man to be was manifest in the flesh and walked among them. Look at Luke 24. Let's look at verses 25 through 27. Luke Start in verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Look also in the same chapter, let's look at verses 44 through 48. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And right here in verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you might be endued with power from on high. Backtrack just a little bit in this chapter. Let's look at verses 31 and 32 as well. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Brethren, have you ever had that moment when you was in your private study or you were in a church service and the words just jumped off the page at you?
Amen.
And you felt the presence of heaven, the Lord of glory right there, opening unto you the scriptures, opening unto you your understanding. What a glorious, glorious moments those are. Look also at Romans chapter 10. Verse 17. And many of us know this verse by heart. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how is faith brought forth in our lives? By hearing the word, the preached word, the read word. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 12. And this is a direct reference from Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34. The writer of Hebrews here is saying, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. It is the Lord that opens the eyes. It is the Lord that opens our understanding. Like I spoke up last week, just the frustration of trying to witness to people, and they can't seem to get it. But our responsibility is to speak the truth in love. It is not our responsibility to force people to be mean, to be arrogant. This isn't in my notes, but let's go to a little side note here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. the responsibility of a minister and also a Christian. I mean, Timothy was written as a pastoral epistle. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. It says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive or be pushy, to be forceful, but to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Beloved, all we must do is just preach the truth, tell the truth, and the Lord will take that word and do what he does. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. See an example of this. 1 addressing this very issue right here to the Corinthian church. In verse 18, he said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise, and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." And this is the whole point right here in verse 29. "That no flesh should glory in his presence." Look to Jeremiah chapter 9. This is not in my Bible, but I believe what we just quoted in 1 Corinthians, that no flesh should glory in his presence, came from Jeremiah chapter 9 right here. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." And let's finish up this morning in Luke 17. Look at verses 7 through 10. It is not our responsibility to change the hearts of men. It's not our business to boast of things that the Lord may have revealed to us, to walk around, and I've seen this. I've seen this through most of my Christianity and a lot of churches I was involved in. As we have learned, well, as the Lord has taught us through what
our dear brother's been preaching through in 1 Corinthians 13 that knowledge puffeth up. We must have love for those who are outside of Christ. We must condescend to those who are a lower estate. Care for their souls.
Luke 17, verse 7 through 10. Jesus telling the parable here, he said, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doeth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty." Brethren, all that we have, the knowledge that the Lord has given us, the understanding that we have of the gospel, the salvation of our souls, we have attained nothing. It has been given to us. There is no boasting there. So we can never look upon someone else that is not where we, per se, where we are in the kingdom and look down upon them. It's all by grace we're saved. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to have a Bible, Lord, to be able to open it. And for you to give us understanding, Lord, that our walk is a walk of humility. Our job is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, to stand in awe of your amazing grace, Lord, that you would even look down upon your creation that rebelled against you, that you would even have mercy against us, Father. We praise you and we give you glory and honor in this, Lord. We pray for the rest of the service this morning, Lord, for the prayer time, the Sunday school hour with the children, the preaching service coming up next hour, Lord, more singing. God, be in the midst of our worship, be in the midst of this today, Lord. Oh, Shepherd, we're hungry to hear your voice. Be with us. Open our understanding. Open our hearts, Lord. If there's someone that's outside of Christ this morning in this congregation, Father, I pray that you would open their understanding, Lord. May you receive all the glory and all the honor. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen.